Well, we're in Book of Malachi tonight, Book of Malachi, and this has really been, I can't remember how long ago we started this series. I think it's been, about a year and a half. I'm trying to remember. I think this is... this is less than 57, is what I have here, less than 57. But there's other things that came in between that, you know, so 52 of them would be a year. And so we've been doing this for a while, and here we are at the end. Part of me is a little bit sad because it's coming to the end, and now I got to figure out something else. No, but part of me is glad because it's, you know, we're coming to the end of that, and we go to something else. And so there's a couple different things, and so... but let's get here. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. You can stay seated. Chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" Again, we get back to these things. The Lord is having this conversation with them in their hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time tonight. Thankful for your word. We're thankful for this study that we've been able to go through in your word. Lord, it's been such a wonderful time for me to study and prepare and to, Lord, let you show me things in my life and, Lord, that I could share with your people. And, Lord, I pray that you'd bless now in this this final message to our series. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I don't know that you can wrap up a 57 lesson series with one chapter. So it's not, Malachi isn't meant to do that. It's the concluding in the book of Malachi. But I do think the Lord is here. The Lord here at the end of Malachi is wrapping up his period of time with the Old Testament saints. He knew what was coming when Jesus came back, that it wasn't going to be a reception. And he knew this was really going to kind of be the end. Of course, there were some things there, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. But there were some things there. But I want to start with this. Point number one is really, here's what they were saying. Point number one is this. It's not worth it. It's not worth it is what they were saying. Malachi is going to turn now to the real heart of the final days of the Old Testament prophets. They have talked about God's love, and rather how God loved the wicked more than he loved the righteous. That's what they said. That God loves the wicked more than he loves the righteous. It could sound pretty pitiful, right? Sad and sorrowful, and talk about how someone should love you better than they currently are. Well, you don't love me as much as you love them. And, you know, you do this for them and you don't do that. It kind of like sounds like kids. My kids didn't talk like that. They did one time. No, I'm kidding. Some of y'all get that later. I'm just saying, sometimes we get this thing, oh, you know, we kind of use this. And it kind of sounds like a pitiful thing. You know, it's really manipulation. It's to manipulate somebody. Say, you know, they just love them more than they love me, and we kind of get some of this thing, and this is the thing that we get to, and this is what they were doing, and they were currently in this place of really trying to sound pitiful, really excusing their behavior. That's what they were doing. They were going for a pity party, right? Claiming others were getting a better situation. That's kind of how they started off this book of Malachi, as their situation. And they're back to it again. But the reality was far from their claims. The reality of what God was doing was far from what they were claiming. Look here at verse 14. The Lord says, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts." This was the question. Here's what they're saying. It has been a waste of time to follow the Lord. You ever feel like that? Don't answer that. Some are like, yeah, no, that's not the right. But I'll tell you, there has probably been times, I'm sure there's been times even in our lives where we'd say, man, is it worth it? Is it worth it? The situation that we struggle with, the situation that the decisions that we make and what it cost us to live for Jesus, losing promotions, losing job opportunities, losing friends. You don't live for the Lord very long live for the Lord very long that you don't lose some friends. But there's more than that. What they were saying was it's been a waste of time. And really, they're getting to this. It has not benefited us at all. They claim to have walked mournfully. This concept is like this. It's hard serving Jesus. We've been persecuted. We've been downtrodden. It's been difficult. And they're walking around mournfully is what the suggestion is. In other words, they were suffering in their lives as a result of living for the Lord. It's what they're claiming. They were taking a loss in life. They were taking a loss in society. They were taking a loss in blessings is what they were saying. But mostly, it was about their own personal prosperity. They wanted the stuff of the world, and only the world was getting the worldly stuff. See, they wanted the world's stuff, and they were disappointed and upset because only the world was getting the worldly stuff. Is that not what they've been talking about? God, they get all the stuff. We don't get the stuff that they're getting. And God says, it's not your stuff, it's their stuff. God says, you should quit wanting their stuff, and you should be thankful for the stuff I got, because I got you some pretty good stuff. Matter of fact, you want to look back, I got you stuff better than their stuff. They said, yeah, but God, we want stuff like everyone else has stuff. We want a king. We want a king like the other countries and the other nations have a king. God said, I'm your king. He said, no, we want a king that we could see. And God said, listen, if you do that, you're going to have to give your sons to battle. You're going to have to give money to take care of his life. You're going to have to do all these things. And they said, it's okay, we don't care, we want to do it. People are dumb, aren't we? We want the worldly stuff and we're mad. And I don't mean we here, but I mean humanity. We want the worldly stuff. Even God's people wants the worldly stuff that God said, that's not our stuff, that's their stuff. We want it. Verse 15, he says this, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Okay, so they go on. They continue. They complain. They said this. They're talking about it. They said it's vain. It's a waste of time and effort to serve God is what they're saying. They said this. There's no money in it. I've been a preacher a while. I know what they're talking about. Right? There's no money in it. There's no prosperity. And yet they said, it'd be better for us to be wicked. For that's who is happy in this world. They are the ones that are all set up. That's what they're saying. You see that here? They're the ones that are set up. The proud are the ones that are happy. They're the ones that are set up. They have the stuff. They got the boats, the cars, the things, the jobs, the money. They're all set up. They got the stuff. The ones that are tempting God. The wicked. That defile His Word. They are the ones being delivered, is what they were saying. To them, to these Jews at that time, life was measured by the things one has. Imagine measuring your life of success by the things that you have. Your countable things. You know, the things one could get. The ease and the pleasantries of life. Listen, folks, before we get misunderstand here, I like to have things. Amen? You like to have things? I like to have things. I like to do fun stuff. Amen. I like to have things. I like to do fun stuff. I even like to enjoy pleasant delicacies. I do. I like to, you know, taste foods that are really too expensive to be tasting just for fun. You know what I mean? I like to do some of these things. But here's the thing, folks. To look at those things as our joy and success for the Lord is great foolishness. This is what they were doing. They were determining what God felt about them and what God felt about the wicked based on what stuff people were getting. True joy doesn't rust. True joy cannot be devoured by moths. If God takes everything that I have, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't want God to take all my stuff. I don't want God to do that to me. You say, Pastor, you think we should have nothing? You think we should all be paupers? No. I like to eat food. I like to eat. You know, now I'm on this thing now in this period of my life. I try to find food that maybe I didn't know, and I try to find clean food. You know, that doesn't have seed oils, doesn't have these kind of things, and less sugar and this kind of thing. And you're like, you know, those things, by the way, I don't know if you know, but those things cost more to eat good. Just, it's ridiculous. But that's just life, you know, because you could bulk make the garbage and that's what we eat. So So now I'm in a place I want to, you know, I want to be up, but if I have to go back to McDonald's, no, you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is this, listen, true joy doesn't come from that stuff, but that's what they were looking to. They were looking to those things, what God has done, and what was God was allowing in the wicked's life, and say, God, you bless them, you're delivering them, and they're the ones that are happy. I'm telling you, here's a good red flag for us. If we see somebody living in a wicked life and they're happy, and we're jealous for them, something's wrong with us. Because when we look at that and think, I wish I had happiness like they have happiness. They don't know happiness, folks. I'm telling you, they don't know true happiness. No, they look it. I've lived that life. You can look it and you can say, yeah, these are so much fun. This is great. And then, but they go away from in front of people. There's not happiness. There's pain and agony and regret. Number two is this. Even while surrounded by wickedness. Look at verse 16. Then, let's catch that word then. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Then, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I love this part. This part is exciting. This part is really neat. Then, let's talk about then just for a second. Then doesn't mean after that. I did this, then I did that. Okay, it doesn't mean like that. Like or because of this, then that happened as a result of. But the then means it's talking about but while then at that time, while others were mocking righteous living, and they were mocking God, and they were saying, God, you're doing this. Then, during that time, while they were complaining about lacking worldly provisions and happiness because of living for God, then, during that time, there were others that were fearing the Lord. No, I mean, even in the midst of all this divorce from their wives for pagan women. Listen, they quit tithing. They were bringing polluted offerings to God. Then in that time, there were still people that feared the Lord in the midst of all that. How do we do that? How do we keep living for the Lord when the world around us is so changed? How can I still live like that? Because I don't let them change me. There were others that feared the Lord. I love this part right here. So often we see the focus on those that were wicked, but this fine, and I'm talking about because there was so much of it, and God was disgusted by it, but this final Old Testament book is going to give us a focus on those that feared the Lord. And can I say this? In some of the worst of society, worst of, if I would say, religious society, they were speaking, they were still speaking of the goodness of God one to another. Isn't it great to come into church and not, I'm not saying we don't care about what's going on in the world and our country, but we don't have to come in here and debate politics. I mean, we discuss it sometimes. Church clean. We talk about different things. We'll talk about, but we don't come in here like, oh no, the sky is falling. Well, the rain, maybe a little bit. But what I'm saying is, our focus is on, we can still, then, even in the midst of all that's going on. Now, I feel bad. We've got folks in our church that haven't got paid. They didn't begin paid for now. We're, 6, 7 weeks now? And so we got folks that are in that kind of situation. And I do feel for them. And so I'm not saying we don't care in that sense. But in the, what's going on in the world doesn't have to. We can still, then, even at this time, we can still fear the Lord and speak one to another about the things of God. It's a wonderful thing, the goodness of God, what God's doing in our life. You say, how can you speak of the goodness of God when it's so difficult? Because we're not thinking about just the stuff. Right? We're thinking about what God has done so much more. The Lord heard them. He heard them loud and clear, matter of fact. As a matter of fact, God records this in some sort of spectacular way. Matter of fact, it says something there. It's really interesting. In the middle of verse 16, he says, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written. It's like this book was created. And a book of remembrance was made here. This isn't the book of life. This is another book. I don't even know what it is. But there's a book of remembrance written here that we find here. It's some spectacular thing. God listened. He said, I heard you. And I wrote it down in a book. We find over in the book of Esther. We remember back there a while back. We read about how Mordecai had found out and heard about what the assassination plot against the king. And he went and he told it. And they found out it to be true. And the king's life was saved because they got rid of those guys. And we didn't hear nothing else about it. Again, it was done. And we go on with life. And then one night, the king was not able to sleep, right? He got up and said, I'm gonna read history to put me to sleep, right? He starts reading this. He's like, wow, there's this Mordecai. What was given him? You know, I've read some things that suggest that some of these things were written down in the books of Chronicles and books of things like this, in these books of remembrance, that was actually written down to secure their name so they can secure the reward given to them. And so here we kind of find that thing with Artaxerxes, with Ahasuerus, and this idea that, hey, was anything, what was done for him? Nothing was done for him. Well, let's do that. And then the whole thing was just awesome. Like the next day he's supposed to be killed. And instead, he goes through town in king's robes. And yeah, it was a great thing. This was a record of this is put in a book. This is the type of book that I think this this book of remembrance that we find here. But this wasn't one, can I tell you though, this wasn't one that was written on earth. This is what God wrote in a book of remembrance. And it was for they that feared him. It says there, and a book of remembrance was written before him and for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So it was a book of remembrance of those that feared God. It's those that thought about him, those that spoke one to another. And it's written down in heaven. Can I say this to you tonight? God does not forget. God's not a forgetter. If anything, what he does with our sin, he puts it behind his back and remembers it no more. But God doesn't forget stuff. God doesn't forget what we think about Him and how we fear Him, how we respect, and how we still love Him. God doesn't forget. This book was not a reminder for God for Him to look back later and like, hey, what did we do for them? No, no, no. God doesn't forget that He needs to be reminded. But this was a book to assure us that there is a coming reward. The reward is coming. Look at verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Whew, there's a day of reckoning coming. The men know what reckon means, right? Okay, it was our Sunday school this morning. There is a reckoning coming. Don't worry about that. I wonder if God notices. Oh, come on. God notices what we do for Him. There's coming a day, He says, when the jewels shall be rewarded. Can I say this to you tonight, folks? I want you to grab this part. Living for the Lord is so worth it. So worth it. God is polishing. He's cleaning. And He's perfecting His jewels. Oh, by the way, we're the jewels. Okay? We're those. And listen, this isn't a miserable existence, folks. This isn't a miserable existence. This is a time to be perfected for all eternity. God is doing something with us. Sometimes He's got to get out the rag. I don't know if you ever had your mom, do one of these numbers. Wipe your face, boys. Wipe your face, got dirt on you. These boys are dirty. I was like that as a kid. Mom would come up. When you're little, you're like, whatever. And then there's this age you get to. I don't know where it's at, but there's a line. Is it 10? I think it's 10. I don't know. So there's a line that all of a sudden it's like, yeah, Mom's cleaning you up. You're like, all right, Mom's taking care of me. It's cool. And then all of a sudden it's like, Mom, right? But it went from, oh, that's good. I didn't know I had something on me, to like, it kind of is uncomfortable, and then it kind of hurts a little bit. God, yes, sometimes gets the cloth out, right? He'll get that cloth out, and He's cleansing us a little bit, and it's a little rough, right? And because we got some sharp edges. Jewels, when you get stones out of the ground, that's where they come from, by the way. And when you get them out there, it's a rock. I don't mean like a rock. I mean like it's just a rock, and you got to do a lot of work on that thing. That's why they're expensive, because you got to cut them, you got to polish them, you got to get them, and then if it's got to be done right, and then it's got to be the right thing. Listen, God is working on us, and listen, it's not miserable. I know there's some things that it's not miserable. It is God's time to perfect us for all eternity. Look at verse 18. Don't worry about that rain. It's going to rain whether you worry about it or not. Amen. Verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Listen, the Lord is writing down what's going on, and there's going to be a wonderful payday. You say, well, you think we should be doing this for a payday? I'm telling you, God tells us a lot about His reward. I don't think He tells us, like, if you work harder, you're going to get a better payday. I don't think that's the thing. I think what He's trying to say is, don't look at what the world has. What they have, it's going away. What you have and what God's doing for you is going to last forever. It's going to last forever. There's a payday coming. Well, I said there's a payday coming. Unless you're one of those that are complaining about living for the Lord. Not so good for them. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Brings us to point number 3. That day is coming. That day is coming. There will be a separation in that day. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be no question. He said it back up there in verse 18, between the righteous and the wicked, there's going to be that separation. There's going to be no question. I'm telling you, on that day, there's going to be no question, was it worth it? Nobody's going to get through that day, and we're in that line over there, and you're like, whoo, whoo, oh man. So if somebody could stand by, I don't think anybody would, but if in that day if somebody said, you think it was worth it? Oh, son, was it worth it? I have a sense, songs have been written about this, and we sing songs about that, that in that day, all the trials that we've experienced will vanish away. I think it's going to seem so nothing to us. I wonder if we're going to get there and think, I can't believe I worried about that. I can't believe that was something that was a stressor on my mind. When I knew these things, and I don't know, if, maybe we're just going to rejoice and none of that, we'll be done with that. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, it'll be worth it. It's going to be there. Those that thought it was better to get the world than the Lord, they're going to get it. And they'll be consumed with it. Not anything will be left of them. No root, no branch, all reduced to stubble. But the healing will come. Look at verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. For those that fear the Lord, it'll be a time of healing. I tell you, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. Yes, there is weeping for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm telling you. And when the sun arises, it'll never set again. The wicked will be ashes in that day. That's what it says. Ashes under the soles of your feet. God says this. You're worried about them. You're worried about what they got. You think all this. He said one day they're going to be ashes. Now he's talking to those that fear him. He said they're going to be ashes under your soul. And can you see them saying, we know, Lord. We know. We ain't worried about them. We're still fearing you. Doesn't matter what's going on. So, what do we do now while we're in this day? What do we do now? Right now, look at verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. So here's what he says. He's talking about those that fear him still and talk about it one to another. They think I'm on his name. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. You know what he's saying? Just keep living my word. Just keep living my word. Well, God, it's so much has changed. So much has changed. It's not like it used to be. God said, just listen, remember my word that I gave. God said, what I've said, just do that. Just continue that on. Do not let those that reject the Lord stop you in one iota from living for Christ. By the way, you know who he's talking about, those that reject the Lord? The Jews, the brethren, those that said they were Christians, those that said they were following God, those that did that. He said, listen, don't let how other believers live affect your living for Christ in one iota. And people just aren't living like that anymore. I think if I say to this, Lord, how are we supposed to live today? I mean, there's hardly much righteousness. You look at Baptist history, you look at Christian history through the years, it's embarrassing what they went through compared to what we do today. Like, how, Lord, how do we live? How do we live for you like they didn't? This when this wickedness is all around. He says, just remember what I gave you. Because I'm the same yesterday, today, forever. So just remember the word that I've given you, the word of God that I've given you. Continue in that. Just keep living the word. The same thing he has instructed us to do, continue. The reward, the blessings, and the curses do not change because the world gets wicked. Isn't that encouraging? No. Well, God said, well, no, when you become a martyr, there's a martyr's crown. Man, I'm not living a day I get to be a martyr. Says nobody ever, right? But here's the thing. God said, listen, all the things I've said, whether you live and serve in a time of great tribulation or a time of great rejoicing, he said, what I've said is what I've said. The reward is there. It doesn't change. But I'm going to tell you, folks, that day is coming. Look at verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So, that Elijah the prophet, he said, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. He didn't mean Elijah's coming back again. He meant he's going to send somebody, that talks about it later, in the spirit of Elijah. And he did come once already in John the Baptist. And he introduced the Son of Righteousness, right? Who came with healing in his wings. When Jesus, not when he was born, but when he came to begin his ministry, John the Baptist had was there. He brought, and when the Son of Righteousness came and he brought hope and freedom, he was introduced by John the Baptist, who preached what? Repentance. Repentance is the great healing antidote for our sin. Can I tell you, in that day, many, many did repent and turn to Christ at that time. And people continue to turn to Christ today. You know, at that time, during Christ's ministry, his life, his death, and his resurrection, thousands and thousands at that time came to Christ. 3,000 went to other times, but the people just... the church and began to be scattered and began to be all over that area. I'm telling you, many did repent, and the Son of Righteousness came, and he came with healing in his wings. Find there was this time that they returned back to this and back to following the Lord. But I want to kind of end with this part, though, and what he ends with here is, but rest assured, those that will not repent, and those that do not repent in this day, they won't get a pass. I want you to hear what I'm saying real good on this part. Because we have this thinking. As society has gotten worse and worse and worse, we've got to the place, if somebody just names the name of Jesus, we want to give them a stamp of salvation. No, of course they're saved. Of course they're saved. We almost think every American is saved just because they're American. Can I tell you this, folks? What God said all along is still what he means. There's not going to be anyone on that day that's going to get a pass because we felt like they should have a pass. You understand? Some watered-down version of salvation. Do we have any of that today? Oh, come on. Can I say that's most of what we have today? A watered-down version of salvation that said, hey, listen, I've been to church. I one time I said something, I've kind of done this thing, but they live like the wicked, they live like the unrighteous and all this, and God's not, what we've seen through His Word, God's not going to say, well, you know, hey, it's okay. No. What He said all along is going to come, and that day is going to come, and it's going to come with burning as an oven. They will be smitten with the curse. The final word of the Old Testament is curse. Good night. I think how we end things matters, doesn't it? Can I say that? Be sure it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Here's our conclusion tonight. I love it. This is my first thing about that. I love it that in the midst of the continual rebelling and the disinterest and rejection of God by His people, He still ends with hope for those that will fear Him. God said, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Do not give up, folks. Do not get weary in well-doing. There's a reward coming. Don't get weary. It gets weary sometimes. We're not seeing... I wish I was in the 30s. I wish we lived... Not in my 30s, but maybe that too. But I wish I lived in the 30s. In the 30s in America for Baptists was the heyday. They'd go put up a sign. They'd go preach a revival. See dozens and dozens saved. And they would have a church overnight with about 70, 80, 90 people. And it would be 100, 200 people. All over was happening in the 30s. That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. Right? So that could be a lot of fun. I'm like, man, that'd be exciting. Wouldn't it be exciting? Man, just I don't know what they did fried chicken then. They probably were poor. So it's a lot of, I mean, what an exciting thing was going on there. But I'm not there. I wasn't born then. I'm right here. And no matter what it looks like, and we may not see all the things we like to see. And sometimes folks want to focus on growth of the church, more people. And yeah, that's awesome. I love it when people get saved and baptized, join the church, and they reach their people and continue. I love that. Amen? That's exciting. But we don't stop our serving Him because of what comes at us. There's hope for today, and there's a reward for tomorrow. The second thing is just this. But the earth is going to be smitten with the fire of judgment. It's going to be smitten with the fire of judgment, folks. Let us not pretend that the world and the people thereof will be okay. Remember that whole Left Behind series came out? I don't know if y'all remember that. It's been probably 30 years. I don't know how long. It's been a long time ago. Left Behind series, and it had this whole idea that after the rapture, then there's some people that had left stuff, and all of a sudden they found out, and all these people got to say, I'm telling you, folks, people that reject the Lord now aren't going to go into the tribulation period and accept Him then. But matter of fact, the Bible says they're going to be made to believe a strong delusion. There is no hope for those that go into this thing. Once eternity begins for them, and that they know their option is over, the only people that are going to be saved during the tribulation period are those that had never heard yet. It's really a small group of people, comparatively. There's going to be a lot of people die. A lot of people die. Fire, disease, just poison. Killing them. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be a bloody, bloody play. I'm glad I ain't going to be here. Oh, son. Whoa, I don't want to watch it. People say, well, we're going to be watching that from heaven. I don't think there's a chance we'll be watching that from heaven. I'm going to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. That's what I'm going to be doing. I don't know what we're eating, but probably fried chicken. You know, I don't know. There's going to be something going on there. I don't know. Maybe we'll be vegetarians then. I don't know. Anyway, like, oh, no, you'll like it. You'll like it. Whatever's there. I'm going to promise you this. You're going to like it. It's going to be worth it. But I'm going to tell you, those folks that are left here, they're not going to be okay. They will not. They will lift up their eyes in torments. So let's live today like it matters. Romans 10:15 says this, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I'll tell you, there's nothing more beautiful. And this is actually a quote from the Old Testament, from the prophets, and how beautiful it is. Not just our feet. I don't know if feet are beautiful. Who thinks feet are beautiful? I don't know. Maybe. But what it means is beauty is the one bringing them. Bringing that. Jesus is coming again. And that's what he was talking about in Malachi. He's coming. He's coming. And he came. Amen. We get to be after that. He came already. But I'm saying he's coming again. And it will be worth it all. Let's all stand together tonight. Our Father, we're thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful that you've made your promise is clear. Lord, you've given us a hope. Yet maybe even tonight there'd be some here that would say, you know, I don't know that if that day happened right now, I don't know that I would be able to go into heaven. Or maybe tonight there's someone amongst us that would say tonight, I really don't know that if I'm saved. But I'm pretty sure I don't want to be in that, those numbered with destruction and misery just so that I could have this world now. Lord, I pray that you'd convict those hearts that need to put their faith and trust in the Son of Righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. And Lord, maybe there's some here tonight that do kind of waver on this area of thinking it's just not worth it. It's not worth the sacrifice. It's not worth the losing out on this world's things. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to those hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to see tonight that, Lord, it is worth it. And joy doesn't come from what the world has. And then, Lord, I pray that those of us among us that are still fearing the Lord, and we speak one to another about it and remember you, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep our eyes focused on you and realize that that day is coming. Lord, that we might rejoice in our hope even now. And that, Lord, we might try to do our best to bring more with us by taking the gospel of peace to them. God spoke in your heart tonight. Pray that you'd take the time.